I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social. Hello everybody, welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast, brought to you by the Scottish Rugby Blog. We are doing our little mini flash pod. Needs a jingle, John.
It does, yeah. We need to get on that right away.
Yeah. So we are currently broadcasting live to our very super secret social media page, but this is going out as a podcast this week to everybody. We are hoping to do subsequent little mini flash pods prior to the other games after the teams have been announced, just to chat through them. This one's going to be available to everybody. So everybody, if you subscribe to the podcast on the normal podcast apps or if you're a Patreon, this will be available to everybody. If you are following this week, we're going to make them Patreons only. So if you're watching this on our Patreon page now, you want to jump in with the comments, ask us questions about the squad, then get in touch, drop us a comment, and we'll have a chat to them. John, so we were pretty fairly spot on, I think, with our calls on this when we were looking at who Gregor Townsend would pick rather than who we'd pick.
Yes, I think that's fair, and I think any rumours that we have any influence on his selections will be kind of dispelled by, yeah. We were pretty good. So I think we almost got the bench right as well.
So we've got, we'll start with the forward pack then. You've got Rory Sutherland, George Turner and Xander Ferguson. So that was, we were three
spot
for three.
Yeah,
three for
no,
three there.
I think that's, that was probably the easiest three picks of the lot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it names itself, doesn't it? Really, that one. Scott Cummings and Johnny Gray, again, we said on the podcast, it's the incumbent lock pairing.
Yep.
The informed one as well, you would argue. Jamie Ritchie, Hamish Watson and Matt Ferguson. I think the number eight's an interesting one because we said Matt Ferguson / Gary Graham.
Yeah. We did, and we thought that the eight decision would probably be quite indicative, actually, of how Scotland were planning to play. I think Ferguson is the, as I said on the pod previously, I think he is the middle ground for what we're wanting in an eight, and Gary Graham will offer something different coming off the bench, and that's good. But Ferguson, I think it's a massive test for him. A massive test for him. And there's been lots of chat about whether Ferguson is the eight we need or if he is good enough for this. And this will be an indication of it.
We've had Ian Hay, who is our regular correspondent on all things Scottish rugby and also a contributor to the podcast as well, who has been at the press conference today. Now, this podcast is going out as an audio podcast 10 p.m. tonight, so this is post the embargo on this stuff, so we can't talk about some of the quotes. So Gregor Townsend was asked about Gary Graham and why Matt over Gary Graham. He said it was another competitive position with Blade Thompson, who played with us in the autumn, missing out. We feel the blend of this week with Matt and Gary gives us a lot of carrying power. Matt played well for us in the autumn. He had a really good game against France and likewise over in Dublin. Matt's a young player and there's a lot of learning and improvement to do, but we feel his work rate and what he did in the autumn gives him the opportunity to start. We've been really impressed with Gary. He hasn't played many games this year. I think he's only played one in the last 4 or 5 weeks and only four overall, but the four games he has played, played really well, played with aggression, more controlled aggression than maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And that seems to be the difference. Later on, he kind of talked about he brings aggression, more controlled than the last 2 or 3 years, played number eight a bit more, so has a different understanding of the game. And he stepped into a leadership role at Newcastle as well. So I was impressed with Gary Graham in that game he played against France.
Yes.
Because he's not shy in getting in the faces of the opposition, and that's maybe something that we've lacked in years gone by. We're starting to build it up again. You know, you've got Jamie Ritchie's very good at it.
that's a kind way of saying it, yes. Yeah, we are starting to build a kind of core group of horrible people in our team that, in the nicest possible way, horrible people who are going to just niggle and cause trouble and get the opposition thinking about something. Because Scotland, when you're playing against Scotland, you're always thinking about, right, the attacking threat that Scotland can offer. You're thinking about the breakdown. But if you can offer something a bit different, if you're thinking they're going to niggle us, they're going to cause us issues, then that's a good thing.
Yes. And I think when it's backed up with talent as well, to a certain extent, that helps, because we've talked before about Ryan Wilson, who's, you know, a very competent rugby player. But it wasn't always backed up with technique, I don't think. It was finesse, shall we say.
I mean, there was techniques involved, but I'm not sure they were generally something you would teach to your minis down the local park.
The only other kind of one to mention, I think, within the pack. Well, there's two things to mention in the pack. One is George Turner, obviously, who very good with ball in hand. I think unquestionably some of the breaks he's made for Glasgow and some of the attacking work he's put in with Scotland as well. It's maybe just he's missed out, I think, in the past because he's maybe not as reliable at the line-out. Maybe the front row suffers a little bit. I don't know the technicalities, ins and outs of these things, but maybe why he's missed out in the past.
Fraser Brown was talking about this and saying that George Turner has been working very hard on his set piece. Like, I think, in all honesty, I think George Turner is probably the best of our hookers with ball in hand. Mm-hmm. He is very, very, very aggressive. And Fraser Brown, again, was saying that he has never been hit quite as hard as when he was hit by George Turner, because he absolutely steam trains people. But as you say, the core elements of the game, the line out and perhaps maybe the scrum, are not as well developed. And the concern is, against England, this might be an issue.
I wonder if that's why then you've got someone like Richie Gray on the bench.
Yep. Add a bit of consistency.
You've then got someone who was very much going to be in control of the lineup when he comes on, who can give that little bit of stability and that little bit of help. I mean, it's an experienced pack other than that, isn't it? I mean, although Xander Ferguson's young, he's got a ridiculous number of caps for his age. Rory Sutherland, Scott Cummings and Johnny Gray. It's not an inexperienced pack. So I think Gregor Townsend said in the press conference earlier that he's going to have a lot of support around him.
Yeah.
And again, that's maybe why Richie Gray gets on the bench ahead of someone like Grant Gilchrist, say. Aside from, I know we talked about that in the pod a little bit.
But I think that's the right call as well, though, based on form. And even then, thinking about someone like WP Nell coming off the bench as well, who is a very, very good scrummager. And, you know, things aren't... Fagerson's scrummaging's improved immensely over the last few years, but if you're wanting someone to come on and just absolutely lock down the scrum, then WP Nell's your man. So... Yeah.
Yes. The other one is Jamie Ritchie. Now, that's interesting, because Jamie Ritchie, I think, has been out injured for a little while. Yeah. The quotes today from Gregor Townsend is that his readings on whatever these GPS trackers that they attach to them is that they believe he can play for a full 80 minutes and he feels like he can play for a full 80 minutes. So, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding. You've got, Gary Graham's on the bench there to cover.
Yep.
The worry would be, I think, that if, you know, we know Hamish Watson and Jamie Ritchie have had injury problems in the past.
Yeah.
That there isn't a natural choice to shift it. If two of your back rowers go down, there isn't a natural lock come second row on the bench or starting in the kind of Blade Thompson or even the Rob Harley role to do that. So we certainly might see some interesting
positional shifts.
But you could, I guess, George Turner's played back row before, hasn't he?
He has.
Another one. So you could potentially get Dave Cherry on at hooker and
put Turner on shifts to seven. It's going to happen. Scott Cummings for eight.
Yep. Alistair Duncan, Donald Duncan, says he's very happy with the team, but feel Graham would have been better starting with Ferguson off the bench. He thinks Graham will just add granite aggression needed for parity. Now, it's an interesting point, because the England back row, you've got It's going to be actually quite an interesting battle there. We've got Mark Wilson from Newcastle Falcons. I think he's playing for Gloucester at the minute, or certainly was last season, I think, quite out on loan. Yep. Tom Curry and Billy Vunipola. I don't think Billy Vunipola is in the only game he's played is where that Saracens lost to Ealing Trailfinders.
Yep.
The Tom Curry Richie matchup, and or even Hamish Watson matchup, that's going to be really interesting because Tom Curry's I should get the Lions chat jingle lined up, but that's a Lions battle, right there. That's one of the stories to watch out for. You've got one out open, an English open side versus two Scottish, well, one open side and one six and a half. So that's going to be interesting. And you know, Mark Wilson, I think, is someone that's been talked up a lot for playing for England, but hasn't necessarily had his chances. Aside from Tom Curry, I'm not entirely sure that's you would describe the Wilson and Vunipola as a mobile back row.
I think that's probably quite fair. And given that Vunipola is probably, as you rightly say, he's not had much rugby. And knowing Mr. Vunipola, he tends not to, put this nicely, he tends not to keep shape when not playing rugby. They've talked a lot about him being the sort of guy that he needs a run of games. He needs to be playing 10, 12 games on the trot to be match fit.
Yeah, and I think the quotes in the press where he's not happy with the in camp because of the COVID. You know, I think as everybody would be, the COVID, like we said in the podcast, you've got Billy Vunipola kind of complaining about the conditions in camp and how isolating it can feel, and then you've got the Scotland camp where Finn Russell's juggling tennis rackets and tennis balls. So there's definitely a difference in the approaches to the game.
Yep.
Yep. So I think maybe Matt Ferguson gets on there just because then you've got a very mobile back three from Scotland up against an immovable object. So maybe maybe then for the forwards, it's going to be more trying to get around the English pack rather than to go through them.
Yeah, I don't think they want to get sucked into a grinding maul-based game where it's all close contact and, you know, I don't think we want to be playing that game against England, because whilst we would fancy our chances, they are bigger than us.
Yeah, and I know so, there's no getting, and there's no point trying to play them. We've tried that in the past, Scotland, to play bigger teams at their own game of being bigger, and it just doesn't work. So, okay, the backs then. So the surprise, I think, is let's have a look.
Mr. Redpath.
Mr. Redpath. That's a surprise. We thought it was a game too early. Now,
yes.
We've also complained then, and I thought about this. We've also complained then, John, about people not getting their chances. If you're good enough, you're good enough.
Yep, we have complained about that, and in some ways, like so, I think it's important to note that we thought it might be a game too early for him, but we also didn't say that it wasn't what we wanted.
Yes. I think that, I mean, Gregor Townsend said that it's the move to Bath, I think, has accelerated his move into the Scotland team, that he wasn't getting his chances at Sale. He was always one of these players that was talked about. You know, he was called up to an England tour in South Africa a couple of years back, but got injured and didn't make it. But the fact that he's playing week in, week out now, Gregor Townsend, his skill set's outstanding, very good running game, passes off either hand, and short kicking game. He's played a bit of 10. On the defensive side, he's a competitor. So both those areas, skill set and mindset, as well as how he's integrated with the players on and off the field here, they've led us to the strong belief that he'll go well at test level.
Yep.
And this is the problem we don't see in camp. And so it's hard to judge. So you kind of have to just go with, well, that if it's working in camp, we have to trust that it'll...
Absolutely.
They've seen something. I think that the one thing that, again, that's come from the Gregor Townsend comments that is that they're relying on the fact he's got Finn Russell outside of him, or inside him rather, who's very experienced and can help him around the attack side of thing. And then the other quote was, Andy has Chris Harris outside him, who's one of the best defensive centres in the world, who's also attacking really well just now and has really improved his game on that side. So Cam will feel really comfortable that the player inside him is constantly talking to him and highlighting opportunities. Finn will be relaxed with Cam on the field, and Chris is a relaxing presence outside him because he's so in control defensively. So I think it's a really good time for Cam to play because we have those two guys either side of him. So it'll be interesting. And I think that's, you know, I think it's a good thing that we've gone with maybe an unproven player at 12 and just shown that bit of faith.
Yeah.
I wonder how much plays into it. I kind of remember because my role when I played rugby back in the day was if the other team needed a player, was to go and play for them rather than play for my own team. And I always somehow found that less intimidating. So I wonder the kind of familiarity with the opposition that he's playing, you know, he's playing for Bath in the English Premiership and he's up against Premiership players, how much that maybe helps a little bit. You're not going up against an island with players a bit unknown. He's going up against guys that either he plays with or plays against. So maybe the intensity of international rugby is much more, but maybe the fear factor of who you're up against is a little less.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. And I think it's something we've talked about for years with, particularly when we're playing Ireland and Wales, that it's been something we've considered for, you know, your Glasgow and your Edinburgh players, that there shouldn't be that fear factor. You know, we play against these players week in, week out, and we beat these players, or we used to certainly beat them more regularly week in, week out. So I think that will come into it, but again, I just go back to the point I made on the pod that Townsend's been really, I'm going to say brave. Let's go brave, right? Brave slash, we'll see how it pans out, right? But he has set his agenda that the 12s he has available are a very particular brand of 12. And we'll exclude Duncan Taylor from that because Duncan Taylor's not fit. And just a crazy, crazy call-up. But anyway, so between Lang and Redpath, you've got inexperienced 12s who can distribute, can kick a bit, can play 10. He's really just went for a type of 12. It just so happens that that type of 12, we've only got two kids that are fit for it. So
the interesting thing, I think, is that when you look at England selection, because the story is they've dropped George Ford. I don't believe that for a second. Nobody gets dropped in when you've got the depth like England. I think it's more the case that he's been rotated. They're coming into this with a certain game plan, so you stick. And I think the way that England are lining up with Farrell at 10, and they've got Ollie Lawrence outside of him.
Ollie Lawrence at 12,
And then Henry Slade at 13, is that I think you'll have two teams trying to play a very similar game of rugby for the first 60 minutes.
Yes.
And then I think potentially you've got two teams trying to play the same kind of rugby for the last 20 minutes, which is going to be much more of a kicking game with tired legs. So I think you'll see England, interestingly, bring on George Ford for the last 20 minutes and shift Owen Farrell up to 12. And looking at the Scotland bench, I think we'll bring on Jaco van der Voort with 20 to go and shift Finn Russell out to 12.
Put Russell to 12, absolutely. I've got no doubt what's going to happen.
From a Lions point of view, you've got two contenders for the Lions 10, then show up for the last 20 minutes, try to show that they can cover 12 as well.
So they can play 12, yeah. And then you've got a centre come wing come fullback on the bench for Scotland as well to just complicate things.
And there's a lot of people saying that Hugh Jones will come on at 13. I don't think he's going to come on at 13. I think the plan will be that he can come on in the back three.
Yep.
So, you know, given there being an injury, so possibly coming on for Maitland. I would think with Doohan playing the full 80 and Hogg as well.
Maitland's fitness will probably be, I mean, not saying he won't be match fit, but you know, he's not played much rugby, so
I don't think he'll come on for Harris and Karras will play the full 80 because Harris has had more game time than anybody else, given that he's played for a lot of rugby for Gloucester so far this year. He's there for cover if needed, I think, with Hugh Jones, but I'd be surprised if he came on at 13 other than an injury to Harris.
Yep. And actually, I think in a lot of cases, I don't think he'll play. If all things being equal, I don't think Jones will play much. I think he'll get a couple of minutes at the end.
I think that the interesting thing is then going to be how Scotland's attack lines up, because we saw against Ireland, I think that's with Jaco van der Voort, but we did see Stuart Hogg come in a lot of first receiver. Potentially now in Cameron Redpath, you've got somebody else that's capable of doing that. So it's going to be who Ali Price ends up feeding the ball to in attack, because I think we'll see a lot of switching going on during the first 60 just to keep the English defense guessing.
No, I would have to agree. I think Russell does. We know Russell changes the way Scotland play, and I've talked about this before, that even comparing Russell to Adam Hastings takes the ball at the line a lot more, is more likely to take contact a lot more, whereas Russell's more likely to, he'll take the ball flat, but he will look to shift the ball wide. Van der Vaart's different. Again, he's more likely to just stand a wee bit deeper, put boot to ball, and you know, get us playing in the right positions. So Russell does more of the actual first receiver bit of take ball, pass ball than our other 10s. And I think you'll find that him and Redpath will probably share that duty more than, say, when Hastings was, last Six Nations, when Hastings was taking that role. Of course, he had Sam Johnston outside him, who isn't maybe as natural a distributor as well. So Stuart Hogg did take more of those responsibilities. And I think it's to the detriment of Hogg's game, actually. Mm-hmm. And I say that in the nicest possible way, because he obviously is capable of doing it. But you would much rather have Stuart Hogg outside your 13 running at defenders with a bit of open space than taking the ball in traffic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the other someone on Facebook who's just come up as Facebook user, so probably I can't name you, says, salivating over the possibility of Doohan getting on the end of a pinpoint floated Finn Russell pass. I'm not even sure passing kick, the crossfield kicks. I'm excited to see.
He was talking a lot about the inside ball, actually. I think that's going to be something we want to watch out for. Because obviously, Doohan got his try against Georgia from an inside kind of pop pass ball. And apparently him and Russell had been talking a lot about that play, which is obviously a very simple play. You know, it's just big, big brute winger comes at very, very fast pace inside your 10. And he either goes pop or he goes out to the standard play. So it's maybe one to watch.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty much a full strength Scotland 15. There's nobody, I mean, you know, you can't say there's any. The only person missing, I think, is Darcy Graham. And, you know, as far as we know, that Darcy Graham's in camp but isn't playing at the minute for personal reasons, which, you know, is understandable. And I think he will likely make an appearance later in the tournament. I'm mildly excited by that team compared to England. I think it's the best chance we've had in years, given the lack of crowd, given the two lineups. So yeah, I'm mildly optimistic, John, which is as much as I'm allowing myself to be.
That's fair enough. I'm pretty much singing We're on the March with Tooney's Army while stomping around the living room in a kilt. So I'm pretty excited. I think, you know, again, it's just going to all comes down to if Scotland can turn up and play their game and not be over like dominated by England physically. If we can avoid that, we can beat them. We can beat them. Yeah. There's no doubt of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it. It all comes down to mindset with Scotland at the end of the day. But they've talked a lot about that. Interestingly, Gregor Townsend the other day was talking about how in lockdown they've used it as a learning opportunity. They've spoken to psychologists about, you know, conditions in camp. So if they've applied the learning, then it's going to be quite interesting to see whether or not Scotland can overcome that, you know, the kind of switching off in the first 10, 20 minutes that's beset them in these bigger games.
Hopefully no Fraser Brown 7 minutes in getting yellow carded for smashing someone in the air.
Well, we shall see. Let's, like I said, keep an eye on that. There's going to be more comments from Gregor Townsend on the blog, scottishrugbyblog.co.uk. Ian was at the press conference today, so keep an eye on that. This has been our first little flash pod. If you want to hear more of these, then you're going to have to sign up to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/scottishrugbypodcast for as little as £3 a month. £5 a month if you want a wee shout out on the podcast.
Someone who signs up, we'll let them come up with a name for it as opposed
they
to Flashpod.
If someone can come up with a name, then we'll happily change it. So Flashpod sounds a little bit seedy.
I mean, I made a joke about that before.
Speaking of CD, very quickly just mention we are sponsored or in a partnership with manscaped.com for the best in male grooming products. Go to manscaped.com/ScottishRugby or manscaped.com and enter the code SRP at the checkout, and you get 20% off and plus free postage and packaging. We'll talk a lot more in detail about that in our normal podcast, but we'll give them a little shout out just for this.
I'm not wearing my t-shirt today.
No, well, we're not. It's just a flash pod, John.
That's true.
I should make it clear for audio listeners, you are wearing a t-shirt. It's not that.
I am wearing a t-shirt. Yeah, I've not got. I'm not like fully manscaped and like just showing off at this point. I am wearing a perfectly acceptable t-shirt.
Well, I think we should draw it to a close there. We got to 25 minutes and we said we'd try for 10, John. So it's normal. We've doubled our time. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We'll be back Tuesday evening. We've got a couple of special guests on our Postcard Cutter Cup podcast. So look forward to that. But for the moment, it's goodbye from me and goodbye from John.
Cheers, folks.